Mini episode 1661 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1661. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here. And we have one of our favorite FDH Lounge dignitaries with us here today to talk about the 2023 MLB postseason. There are folks that, again, we refer to on this show that they were dignitaries before they were dignitaries because, again, this show has its roots at the old Sports Talk Network here and was influenced by such shows as Reality Check that I was on with Ron Glasnap and our dear beloved departed friend Dave Adams. As well as this gentleman and his dear, beloved, departed brother-in-law, Don Koster, on Life's a Pitch with Ken Detweiler. And I speak, of course, of the titular Ken Detweiler, champion in our 20-team Keeper League. So I have to start by congratulating him on that note here, the winner of Lateel in 2023, the league to end all leagues. So, Ken, on that note, congratulations for winning. This is sort of the ultimate. This is like climbing Mount Everest in fantasy sports here. You win a 20-team keeper baseball league. You are in rare company. I blush to say that that company includes me, but I'm happy to have you in the club here, and I'm looking forward to breaking down the postseason with you, my friend.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, too. It's going to be great, and you are in the league, the Keeper League, which is so tough. You were my mentor. You got me into this league, and you have been in the rarefied air before. You got the green jacket, as we discussed earlier.
Yes.
And now I'm going to be fitted for mine, and then I have to buy pizza for
everybody. Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, well, you know what? It's worked better for league champions the last several years since I had to go gluten free. There's one less guy you gotta go buy pizza for. So, you know, yeah. You're welcome. But I'm looking forward to next year's auction already, and yeah. I'm looking forward to this postseason here. It's going to be an interesting one. When you look at the standings, there are a number of familiar faces that are not amidst this year's playoff teams, and uncommonly bad seasons, at least relatively by their standards. The Yankees, the Red Sox, the Cardinals, the Mets, who are the bust of all busts coming into this season as they did and falling off the way that they did. And then you have also, to whatever degree, the LA Angels, who are also pretty big busts right now, hoping to keep it together with Ohtani and Trout. They have a disastrous year. Ohtani goes down. He's probably going to walk. They're looking to maybe trade Trout and may or may not even find takers for the greatest player of his generation because of how much of the rest of his contract they're going to be on the hook for. Imagine if somebody would have said to you a year or two ago the Angels might go to flip Mike Trout and have to eat some of his money to do that. So there are a number of teams that we might have thought at the beginning of the year might have been in the postseason. But weren't. San Diego's another team as well, although as we get to in a little bit here, San Diego much better on paper than what they did on the field. But a number of those teams that are not represented among the teams we're talking about here today.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. It's just when you start rattling those names off, it's just, wow. I mean, the amount of money that those teams have spent and to be in the crapper.
Yeah.
Wow. And as a Cleveland fans, and you can appreciate this, Rick.
Yeah.
We weren't in there, but we never spent any blessed money.
No. No.
You know, so that didn't surprise me one bit. And I know that hurts your feelings with the ownership there.
Well, yeah, and that's a thing, too, where, I mean, Terry Francona was like the Lysol over the situation here with the money. You take that away and the odor that's going to be left. I mean, it's going to be, for as much as people ripped on Eric Wedge and Manny Acta, and I don't think either one of those guys set the world on fire, to a certain extent it was like, what did they have to work with? And, you know, Francona was kind of a magic maker as far as keeping the team relevant over a period of time. So, you know, finding somebody to replicate that, good luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a one of a kind.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was a little poignant seeing him walk off for the final time today as we are taping this, actually in the same game that Miguel Cabrera retired. And speaking of Miguel Cabrera, his Marlins, it's the flip side of this here. When we talk about the teams that are in the postseason, some surprises. Miami rises up. The Cubs get back into it here after taking a knee for the last couple of years and being in a quasi-rebuild. They're back in it. Texas is back in it. Bruce Bochy being there along with spending a lot more money. The combination of those things really helped out a lot. Baltimore, which dipped its toe in the water of contention in 2022, showed definitively that they're for real in 2023, the number one seed in the American League, and a team that, again, a core of young players, much like what Atlanta and Tampa Bay and Houston, teams like that, have done the last couple of years. Now you see that in Baltimore, and you see them cracking the playoffs as well. And the team that they played in the World Series 40 years ago, I should say, Philadelphia. Philadelphia was in it both 30 and 40 years ago. And Philadelphia making it in the National League again as a wild card, as they did last year.
And they came out of nowhere again, too. I mean, Harper down and all these other guys. Oh, my.
Yeah. Tough start for them as they had in 2022, but they pulled out of it again. And in the National League, again, you look at some of the teams making the playoffs in the National League, and you kind of knew that, especially once the Mets were having a disappointing year and once San Diego started to flatline, that the coast was going to be clear for Philly to take one of these playoff spots if they could get it going. And indeed they did. And this takes us to a wild card round here, starting off on Tuesday. You're going to have Toronto at Minnesota. A throwback to, I think it's the 91 playoffs, I believe. That was when they were playing each other, I think the American League Championship Series. I remember some of the afternoon games in particular in that series. And the 4-5 matchup is Tampa Bay and Texas. Let's take a look at these two ones here. Minnesota has had a real historic record of playoff futility. They've made the playoffs quasi-consistently over the last 20 years and not done anything. I think I saw something that said that I think they've lost like 18 playoff games in a row going back to 2004. I think they'll get off the schneid because I think it's going to be a pretty competitive series. I think they actually got a little bit lucky in drawing Toronto, because I think had they drawn Texas or Houston, it might have been a different story. I think they can take a game from Toronto, but I've got Toronto taking the series on the road in three games. And in the other one, Tampa Bay and Texas, I think this is a matchup of two of the very best teams in the entire playoff field. Tampa Bay has obviously suffered some injuries on the pitching side here, but they've got more pitching than Texas. I'll go with Tampa in three on that one. How do you see these two, Ken?
Yeah, I'm going to have both go in both of those series, go three games, because I do think they're well matched. As much as I'd like to say agree with you on the Blue Jays, mm-hmm. my heart still, and this is my heart talking, not my head.
Sure.
But I think the home field, hopefully the Twinkies are going to take that.
Okay.
So I have them winning that 2-1. Tampa Bay, and here I like Bochy too, but I just don't think he has the pitching to, and, you know, I see Heaney, they trotting him out there and all these guys, and we knew that too, Rick. We knew they didn't have pitching, but what he, you know, and here again, I love watching the coaches or the managers.
Yep.
What they do, you know, with these teams. I mean, I see, wow, these managers take over a team. It's like Houston was taken over.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what a mess. And then here they are again. and again and again.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm going to go with Tampa Bay on. So I guess I'm going against you on this stuff.
Okay.
But I'm thinking that the pitching. I think Tampa Bay, having been there before too. That's another thing.
Yeah.
Texas is new, and you can have a guy like Bochy of Texas.
Yeah.
And he can coach you up and manage you up and get you inspired and da da da. But if you haven't played in these games,
yeah,
you know, this is a whole different thing. I mean, so I'm going to go with Tampa,
okay,
in round one, and I'm going to go with the Twinkies with Minnesota in round one also.
Okay, I'm actually going to agree with you on Tampa. I'm going to say Tampa and Toronto. And by the way, when you talk about this, and again, guys like me and you, the purists, everything that we love to watch in the game, I think it's going to be a real treat in this Tampa-Texas series because, I mean, mm-hmm. Cash and Bochy, I mean, they're both top five in the game, right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
absolutely.
The chess match between those two guys getting the most out of what they have is going to be incredible. So what that will lead us to then in the divisional series is, so in your book, that's going to be Minnesota playing Houston, which that to me shapes up like it could be something of a mismatch. I don't know, but the other side, we both agree, Tampa Bay and Baltimore. I'm going to say Houston playing Toronto, so the 2-6 match up there. I think Toronto can take a game from Houston, but I don't know necessarily more than that. And by the way, I want to circle back to something you had pointed out here when you talked about Texas with the pitching. Something I found surprising, and so we have this up on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com, the 2023 FDH MLB end of regular season breakdown. Texas 17th in both FIP and ERA+. So a real indication of the mediocrity of that pitching staff, even more so than I even thought before I looked at it. But so neither one of us has Texas in the second round. Instead of Texas being in there, we are both saying Tampa Bay and Baltimore. That's one where, again, the O's are going to have the home field. This is one where I see it going five games. I think it's going to be another one that's a real classic. But, again, something to be said for having been there before. And Tampa Bay, again, they got off to that relatively historic start to the season, got overtaken by Baltimore eventually, but I think a lot of people will tell you these have been the two best teams in the American League the entire season, and certainly our breakdown shows that because Tampa Bay is tied on our overall statistical ranking for number one in baseball with Atlanta, which is a heck of a place to be with the kind of historic year Atlanta's had. Baltimore is sixth in there, so not too far behind. I'm going to say Tampa Bay over Baltimore in five, and I'm going to say Houston over Toronto in four, thus setting up a Tampa Bay-Houston ALCS. So again, you've got it being Houston facing off against Minnesota. So how do you see Houston-Minnesota and Tampa Bay-Baltimore, Ken?
I'm going to go with Houston because mm-hmm. they've been there, done that.
Yep.
And they've had success as opposed to what you earlier stated, Rick.
Yeah.
The Twins have been there and been there. Let me see, and have been there again.
Yeah.
So at some point, even though the turnover in Major League Baseball just kind of flows all the time, but you've got new guys in there, but still, yeah, I just think that they're a pedigree, Houston. So I'm going to put Houston in there to win it in probably, yeah, four games. We'll go that route. And then if I go Tampa Bay against Baltimore. Again, Baltimore has a lot of great young talent. But you mentioned Cash. You're going back to
yep.
another manager. And I'm picking the manager here, I guess, probably a little too much, maybe, with Houston and with Tampa because of the managers. And we've seen it with Cash, what was it, last year or the year before?
Yeah.
Cash, everybody put him on a spit and roasted him
yep.
for a couple of his maneuvers. So I'm going to go with Houston against Baltimore. Oh, and Tampa against
Houston,
Baltimore.
Right?
I will take obviously Baltimore to lose, and I'll say Tampa in four also.
All right,
because all these teams, they excite me. A lot of these teams, simply because they're, like we said earlier, they're not the Yankees, they're not the Red Sox,
right?
Not, you know, the same old, same old. And so if you're a baseball fan, it's nice to see them stirred up. But so that's how I'm going. I'm going to go Houston against Baltimore, and then or not against Tampa rather. And wow, now. And who'd you pick on this?
So I got Tampa and Houston as well. So it sounds like we're okay. On the same boat here as far as what we're picking. A couple things just to respond to what you said here. I think, again, gun to my head, who would I take managerially in that one series? Probably Cash. But I do have Brandon Hyde as the American League Manager of the Year for the job he did in the regular season with Baltimore. So there's
good
the
point.
There's the potential for this. Again, we have to see. It's uncharted territory. What does he do in the postseason? We've seen it before with Cash, and I know that our good friend, fellow FDH Lounge dignitary Steve Callis, will point out that there's a downside to stuff with Cash, too, and he always takes out the pitcher before the third time in the order, and he's not wrong about that, but... You know, that's there's the ups and downs that Cash has had, to be sure. And that, again, if either one of us is wrong about Minnesota, it'll probably be this reason. As I'm looking at this here, again, our statistical breakdown. Another surprise as I look at this. Minnesota very quietly, second in FIP, third in ERA+. I think you could probably win a lot of bar bets out there with that information. So Minnesota's starting pitching in particular has been far better than people expected it to be. But again, I don't think it's going to be enough to quiet the bats of Houston if it comes to that. And I don't think it's going to be enough to quiet the bats of Toronto enough to get out of the first round, in my estimation. But in the American League Championship Series, we've both got it being Houston and Tampa. And for me, this is how I see it coming down. I don't think either way, whether Houston draws Minnesota or whether they draw Toronto, I don't think they're going to break as much of a sweat getting there as I think Tampa Bay will with Baltimore. I think that could be a real existential threat, and I think a lot of times you look at who's got the easier draw. And a couple weeks ago, when I did a precursor version of our end of regular season breakdown, at the beginning of September, I posted on FantasyDraftHelp.com our regular season finale sort of preview. At that point, I was picking Tampa Bay to come out of the American League, partially because of what I thought the draw was going to be. I'm reversing that, and I'm going back to my preseason prediction of Houston coming out of the American League, because I think Tampa Bay, they may leave so much on the field, so to speak, literally and figuratively against Baltimore, that I think Houston having the easier draw is going to be helpful in getting through. So I'm going to say Houston, but in seven games. I think it's going to be very, very strenuous there. And I think the very strenuous nature I'm expecting is why I think Tampa Bay comes up just short in the end.
Yeah, I can see that. Those are all valid points. And I just want to say, too, if Baltimore does come out of this, I'm going to be one of the biggest fans because I'm always for the underdog.
Oh, yeah.
And these guys have been, there's an old saying, I guess I can't even say it, but they're taking whatever's left over from the rest of the litter.
Yeah.
As far as any kind of milk goes, or, you know, they've been at the bottom.
Yeah.
And just taking it.
Yeah.
And so I would be pulling for them, yelling for them, and just hoping everything goes their way. But I have to agree with you, Houston over Tampa, on that with you, Rick, simply because I guess, and maybe I'm just, you know, they've kept this team together for the most part, Houston.
Yeah.
And they've got a pedigree now.
Yep.
And I don't care how long these guys are on that team.
Yeah.
Unless you have trash cans banging in the background again to remind them, these guys don't have to be reminded of how they stole a championship,
right,
in some people's minds. So I'm thinking they're going to chew on that bone a little bit and still keep trying to prove as long as they keep this gang together.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, a valid point. And Dusty Baker coming in and giving them kind of the fresh start that they needed to kind of reset from that. And, again, he's done a heck of a job there. And, again, this team, yeah, you and I both have them winning the American League, albeit, again, Tampa Bay giving them a heck of a battle here going through. Houston's numbers, they're a little bit deceiving as far as when I look at the statistical breakdown here. 17th in FIP, 11th in ERA+. Of course, they only had Justin Verlander for the very end of the season, as they did in 2017, and we all remember what happened that year. So getting him back in there could be very decisive. It gives them that playoff ace that they can really count on in these situations that some of these other teams just don't have. And, you know, Tampa Bay, especially post-McClanahan, I think wishes they had a guy like that. So it's a thing where Houston just they're in a very, very good position right now. And, again, going from fifth to second, and I think conceivably could have even been sixth based on how it went, but they end up getting the second seed and a bye. This is the kind of momentum I could see carrying through with Houston. And as far as it goes with Texas, it's a thing where, and again, I don't wish them any particular harm. They're a fun team to watch, and I agree with you like Baltimore, because Baltimore has used some spare parts in there, but they got a lot of high upside youngsters that are contributing very early in their career. It's an intriguing mix of players there. They're fun to watch, and that's where I do almost feel dirty saying that a team owned by DeAngelo's family is fun to watch and is rootable, but Baltimore is. What the hell? Even if they're owned by DeAngelo's family, they're still fun to watch and they're rootable. And Texas, I can't help but think last year, and this was probably the beginning of the end with the Mets when they choked it away, was when they fell to Atlanta at the end, and then they expected to just regroup in the playoffs, and it never happened. And for Texas, and again, Bruce Bochy, one of the true geniuses in the history of the game and a good guy. And, you know, it's a very rootable team there as well, I think, in Texas. I don't want to see it happen, but it could be a thing where it gets ugly for them if they can't pull out of it. Now, again, the difference being having Bruce Bochy there, he may help, you know, reset the mentality for them heading into the wild card series. And again, I think we're going to be in for some epic games with Tampa Bay and Toronto. That may be the best series that we see in the American League, although I think Tampa Bay Baltimore would be right up there as well.
Because of the rivalry.
Oh yeah, yeah, and divisional foes. And by the way, teams that are set up for a long time here. I mean, it's one of these things. This might be making the heads explode at ESPN and Fox and all the places that care about ratings. But I think the new Yankees Red Sox might be Rays Orioles. I think this might be the new version of it, Ken.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know.
I would love it, because I remember the days, and you do too, when the Orioles.
Yep.
They had pitching. And
yeah.
Man, the Big Four. And,
yeah.
And this is a little side note for people out there that are listening to this. If you want to know, and I'm not blowing smoke up your backside here, Rick, at all, but as when you were nice enough to send me over these rankings and how you have this broken down, and to hear you repeat this again, you're like the best. I mean, I'm looking at this stuff and I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know this. And it's like, geez, seriously? That's got to be a misprint. But no, I mean, you do your homework all the time.
I appreciate it, pal. Thank you. I go hunting for these things. Hopefully like a pig hunting for truffles here and finding the truffles. And I think we have the statistical truffles here all on this web sheet here. And I appreciate you saying that. I appreciate your kind words. And I think, yeah, it is very revealing and it is very indicative of where a lot of these teams stand at this moment in time. And in the National League, we've got a situation here in the first round where, again, I think it's a little bit different in the sense of Miami and Arizona. I'm not sure you necessarily need a statistical worksheet like this to show you just how lucky they are to be there And then a team like San Diego that, again, really kind of, you know, stepped on their own Johnson at numerous points along the way, but statistically had a much better season than either of these two teams, albeit I will say I picked Arizona to eke into the playoffs at the beginning of the year, so I'm not completely surprised in their case. Miami I am surprised by. And particularly, again, you would have thought that if they did, that would have been Alcantara coming out there having another Cy Young caliber season, and it didn't happen. Miami seems like a team that just kind of got lucky at various points in time. Timely hitting, isn't that what they say, and everything? Uh-huh. So I'm not super impressed with either of these teams here. I mean, Corbin Carroll is going to be one of the absolute epic players in baseball for the next 15 years. So Arizona's got that. They got a heck of a foundation, and they finally have, I think, their spiritual successor to Paul Goldschmidt as far as a franchise icon. But I'm looking at this here, and I'm really kind of struggling to see how either of these series is necessarily that competitive, especially with the role that Philly comes in on, and that Milwaukee, I don't necessarily regard them as being a powerhouse, but I mean, their pitching in particular, again, they're only 15th in FIP, but they're first in ERA plus, and Milwaukee can just jump on you in a short series and with the pitching and kind of end it right there in a chokehold, and that's kind of how I see it going. I've got Milwaukee and Philadelphia both advancing in two games, so I don't expect as much excitement as I do in the American League. Do you agree or disagree, Ken?
I agree, and again, it's a short series, and pitching, if you've got a top two starter, or the top two guys in your rotation, Milwaukee has it, and now here's where I'm going to go against what I'm trying to say. I think the Marlins have a great young pitching staff.
Yes.
But they're young.
Yes.
And there again, I'm going to go off into another lane here again. I wonder what Derek Jeter thinks about this after we left that.
Yeah.
You know, but I say it's a two-game series out of both of them. I see Philly because they've got the whole package in this series, as far as I'm concerned. They just, and they've got payback on their mind.
They do.
So they're gonna run right through that side, or these division playoffs.
They want to finish the job. There's no doubt about it. And what this then sets up, we both agree, is in the divisional series, I will say a 1-4 matchup that this is a thing where, again, I think could very easily be the NLCS, because in my estimation, the two best teams, number one Atlanta, number four Philadelphia. It leaves us on the other side, number two, L.A., number three, Milwaukee. L.A., way more than usual, sort of a Stars and Scrubs type operation there. And some of it has been with the retrenchment in their payroll, at least relatively speaking, by modern Dodger standards, because supposedly they are going to be going after Ohtani in the offseason and have been saving up money to be able to do that. But L.A. joining many other modern teams in Southern California and doing the whole Stars and Scrubs thing. The Chargers did it. The Rams have been doing it for years. Even when they won the Super Bowl, they were a supercharged version of Stars and Scrubs. The Lakers were kind of Stars and Scrubs until the last year or so. The Angels have been Stars and Scrubs for as far back as the eye can see, basically, at least since Mike Trout got there. So now the Dodgers get to be a version of that. They're playing Milwaukee, and I actually think that because these are the third and fourth best teams in the National League, in my estimation, I think it will be a very competitive series, and for once, Milwaukee might actually have the edge in starting pitching here. I don't know if they're going to have enough up and down the line. They had an interesting playoff series a couple of years ago. I think this one will be very competitive. I've got it going five, but I've got the Dodgers eking it out. The other one here, Atlanta and Philadelphia, I've got it going four, and I'm going to stay with my preseason pick to win the World Series, which was Atlanta. I'm going to stay with them here in this series.
Okay. Well, I agree with everything you say. I don't I don't know how Mookie Betts does it with the LA team. I mean, you could put him anywhere.
Yep.
And he will just make your team so much better. You know, I was pulling for Gavin Lux to go in at shortstop this year for him, and that didn't work out. And so then they moved the pieces around the board, and all of a sudden you got Betts at second base, and just doing a spectacular job. And he's a leader, too. So you have to have leadership, which all these teams, these four, have leaders, that's for sure. And I didn't mention that earlier so much with the American League, but I'll have to go with LA, agreeing with you, my friend, over the Brew Crew. Although my heart would be with the Brew Crew,
sure,
to get there again, because my gosh, you remember the last time that Milwaukee team was in the playoffs?
Oh yeah,
I mean, way back when.
Yep.
And, geez, we still had the stadium here in Cleveland.
That's right.
The old stadium. So I'm going to go with you, L.A., on that. Again, it's going to be tooth and nail. Those guys are going to go after each other. This whole season that's coming upon us now, I'm just really geeked for these teams, because it's not just, okay, the Yankees come in and just blow the sugar out of you.
Or right.
This team just beats the daylights out of you. Now, on the other side of the pancake here, Philadelphia and Atlanta, I think, again, I'm going to go with Philadelphia on this one, because I think they're the most complete team in the National League. And that's just one man's opinion. Please do not go out and put any money on this. go and look at the FDH end of regular season breakdown that Rick's put together for you, because it makes a whole lot more sense than some old guy like me shooting his mouth off here. But and Atlanta, what a team. Gosh, they have a team. And I probably should, definitely do not go the way I just told you to go. But I mean, that team is like a machine. And we've seen teams like this, and they did it last year too, Atlanta.
Yeah.
So, but for some reason, my gut tells me just to go on with Philly on this at this point.
Well, they got past Atlanta last year, and 30 years ago this year, of course, the 93 Phillies going to the World Series on getting past Atlanta. So there is precedent for it, both near-term and longer-term, looking back. If you're going to look at it, again, it's a thing where outside of Strider, if you're going to question what the pitching depth is, especially with the relative health of a couple guys like Morton right now for Atlanta, if you're going to look at anything, it might perhaps be that. And this is a thing where Wheeler and Nola, I look at it where I think when I see their ERAs, which are not great, their whips actually are pretty doggone good. So I think they've been getting some bad luck as far as the guys that they've, been putting on base and what that's done to their ERA. And I always believe in regression to the mean or progression to the mean. So I expect that their luck is going to improve as far as what their ERAs have been over the course of the season here. Because, again, the whip, I think that's a more useful figure a lot of times as well. How many guys are you putting on base?
Yep. Because I agree to that. Even at the high school level, I push that again this year. I push it every year. And a lot of the kids at the high school level have no idea. Is it a cherry on top of the whipped cream?
Right.
No, it's a whip. What does that mean? They don't know. So you have to educate them and tell them just what you said.
Yeah.
How much that means to the overall.
Yeah. Because, if a disproportionate number of the guys you're putting on base are scoring, that's kind of bad luck. I kind of look at it that way, because this is one of these situations here. I use this phrase for whichever way the combination goes here. But in this case, it would be that the ERA is like a woman saying, "You're like a brother to me." The whip is saying, "Come upstairs for a nightcap, big boy."
That's what I like about you, Rick. You come up with things that even my crazy mind can't even think of it. Well, out of left field now, coming in,
yeah.
Rick Morris.
Exactly.
And I love it.
By the way, and let's not cover which of the two phrases I've heard more. But we don't need to get into that. So
no, that's a story for another day.
It is.
No, I understand. Wink, nudge.
It's much.
Say no more.
It's much more interesting, of course, to look at this year's baseball postseason because, boy, by the way, once we get to this championship series, either way, we're looking at something that has been a great playoff rivalry in recent years, if I'm right. Atlanta and the Dodgers, they've matched up in the championship series a couple of times in recent years, or going further back to the late 70s and the late 2000s with Philadelphia and the Dodgers. So either way, whichever of us is right in this instance here, it's going to be the resumption of an excellent rivalry. In my case, with it being Atlanta and the Dodgers, I only see it going five. I think Atlanta can plow through them pretty good. Again, this really is the modern-day murderer's row lineup that they have here. And Acuna versus Betts, it doesn't get much better for mano-a-mano star power, but when Betts looks across the diamond at everything that Acuna is surrounded by and starts looking over his own shoulder, that's going to be a little daunting, so... If it's Atlanta and the Dodgers, as I'm predicting, I'm saying Atlanta in five. How do you see the Phillies and the Dodgers, Ken?
Well, the Phillies and the Dodgers, I'm going to go, wow, boy, that's tough. The thing with Atlanta, I'm just going to go back to that.
Yeah.
Do you remember when they were trailing the Mets, and the Mets just took it in the shorts?
Yep.
Just kind of something was in the back of my mind why I think the Phillies, you know, had a little bit of an edge there. Although Atlanta on paper and what they've done here this year has been
right.
Awesome. But I think the Phillies are going to beat the Dodgers in that. And probably it'll go right to the end of the whole series.
Okay.
Because, like you said, these teams are so much fun to watch. And we're talking... because we're Guardians fans, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm.
But we love baseball, and we love competition. So I'm going to go with Philadelphia, and they're going to play it all the way out to the end and eke it out over L.A. And that's where I'm going to go with that. So I'm going to put Philadelphia coming out into the championship game.
What a remarkable thing it is that Clayton Kershaw potentially could be bookending his career with National League Championship Series against the Phillies based on whether he comes back next year or not, because, of course, 08 and 09 doing it then. And the one time we had Tommy Lasorda on the show, it was before the 08 National League Championship Series. And so he was working in the Dodgers front office at the time and good friends with Joe Torre. And it was one of those things where, again, you wouldn't necessarily expect that he would be wanting to put any extra pressure on Joe Torre or the Dodgers, but I mentioned that in terms of their chances to succeed, I think I mentioned like Josh Beckett and the 03 Marlins, like if the Dodgers are going to get through, isn't it going to take Kershaw sort of channeling his future self and being that guy in October? And I was half thinking Lasorda was going to be like, well, you know, it's a lot of pressure to put on somebody. And he was like, oh, absolutely. I think he's going to have to be that guy for us to get it done. And
he was refreshing.
Oh, he was. Like the old school guys didn't worry about putting too much pressure on anybody or anything like that. Like I was so tickled by his response because it was so honest. Because it was like... the only answer to give me was, why, yes, Rick, that's what he's going to have to do. But a lot of people would have been like, well, I don't know, it might be more complicated than that. And then, you know, make up some kind of an answer that doesn't apply as much pressure to somebody. But obviously at this point, Clayton Kershaw is on the other end of his career, but still going very strong and relied on very heavily by the Dodgers because of injuries and guys being suspended for antisocial violations and other things like that. So the things that I think would leave them a little bit too hollowed out to be able to get past Atlanta or Philly, because I agree with you that if it was going to be Philly and the Dodgers, I would take Philly, and I'm guessing if it was Atlanta and the Dodgers, you would take Atlanta. So
yes. I
think we both think our picks are getting through here. So the World Series, I'm looking at this here where, I do think that Houston against Atlanta, I do think that is going to be a matchup that... again, from last year, you don't get that happening all the time. But I'm sorry, from 2 years ago, I should say, Atlanta and Houston. I think it's going to go the same way between Houston and Atlanta because I think Atlanta just has such a depth of just the hitting up and down the line. I mean, it might be the closest that we ever see to the 27 Yankees ever again. And so... I'm going to say Atlanta to win the World Series in six games over Houston. And so you're looking at Philly and Houston, which, again, I miscued a second ago here when I said a matchup from last year. But, of course, what you're talking about would be the matchup from last year, Philadelphia and Houston.
Yeah, and I tell you what, again, and this is just a competitor in me and like to watch competition, and both teams – have the proverbial chip on their shoulders.
Yep.
And to me, they both got great pitching. They both, again, they're just put together well. I wouldn't be upset at all if Atlanta came in instead of Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, they are just an awesome team. My fear is that somehow they're going to read their press clippings and they're just going to, they've been cruising all year, a.k.a. the Mets of last year, and then all of a sudden they look behind them and see who's gaining on them. And it's like, uh-oh, we're in trouble, and then the whole house of cards falls apart. I don't know if that's going to happen, but like I said, this is just, and you would have said it too, Rick, this is just going to be such a fun postseason. And not that every year isn't fun to some extent,
sure.
But we don't have, and I'm going back to the same old, you don't have the guys who just always beat your head and every team is out finishing behind them. And then they're taking your best players each and every year, going to the metropolitan areas and this and that. When I say metropolitan areas, what I'm saying is Boston and New York.
Right.
And that sounds like a Midwesterner, which is what I am.
Sure.
But... yeah, Houston and Philly, wow, who do you pick? You're saying Atlanta, you're saying over Houston?
I am saying that, and I will say this, that Philly and Houston, I thought Houston was a strong favorite a year ago. I don't think that would be the case. I think they'd be a lot more evenly matched right now.
Yeah, I think Philadelphia's made a lot of different changes for the better over Houston. So since I've taken Philly, I might as well ride the pony all the way to the end. And I'll just take Philly over Houston. Again, let's take it out to the max because these teams are all so good and it's just so difficult. I'm not saying I was going to dread this call with you because I didn't know who to pick, but geez Louise. It's no wonder Vegas is Vegas and they've got a lot of people betting on these games and all sports, football and everything.
That's right.
But it's just, it's like, my Lord, how do you win on this? It's
yeah,
like,
well, you know, it's an interesting thing here that, again, you and I would be looking at this the same way with the National League team getting it done in the World Series. And, again, it does perhaps showing that Atlanta and Philly might be the two best teams playing right now. I think Tampa Bay is very close in that conversation as well.
Yep.
But perhaps Baltimore, but yeah, Baltimore with the starting pitching, that could be an issue. But again, it's been a very interesting 2023 regular season, Ken Detweiler. The playoffs will be as well, and I look forward to reconvening for the World Series with you and hopefully our good friend Steve Callis, who I know his head would be exploding. If you think it was last year when the Phillies, the third best team in the NL East, won the pennant, What do you think would be happening if somehow Miami fluked their way through to the World Series? Oh, we'd never hear the end of it about the sanctity of the regular season from Steve.
Oh, I know. And part of me would like to see L.A. get in there with Houston, too, for the championship, just for giggles, so to speak. And that's because it's a payback thing. And like I said, you know, those guys are still chewing on that bone over there in L.A., You know they are.
Yeah, they're so, bit, I don't think their bitterness subsided even with winning the 2020 World Series. So
yeah,
you know,
and I gotta tell Steve Callis. I said, hey, somebody beat Houston this year, please.
Yeah,
you know, because I know he chews on that bone too. So.
Well, we both think it'll happen in the World Series. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Last year, there were a few curveballs being thrown in the playoffs, particularly in the National League, as far as how everything shook out. But it'll be very interesting to see Ken Detweiler. Thank you so much for being here for our 2023 playoff preview.
Well, thanks for having me, Rick. It's a true joy again. So,
much appreciated, Ken. Like I said, look forward to doing it again. Thank you, and thank you, everybody, for joining us for FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1661.